For years, Jason Ball pursued urban exploration, that's crawling through underground and forbidden city sites and industrialized areas, which he's written about under his pseudonym DavidKeats.com. But on a rain-soaked April 7th, Jason Ball slid his wilderness tsunami kayak onto a tributary of the James River near where he lives in Springfield, Missouri, and headed south to spend a month alone paddling to the mouth of the Mississippi. His first encounter was with Table Rock, Taneycomo, and Bull Shoals Lakes, all large dammed impoundments requiring portage. Jason used his GPS device to navigate wide expanses of lake and the best portage routes. By the way, during the interview, Jason had to pause here and there to adjust his course.
It took me 2 days to get through the James River, and that took me down to the Table Rock Lake. Now, when I got to the Table Rock Lake, there's the big dam there, and there was a road that went around, and once I got all my stuff up to the top, one of the foremen actually offered to throw my kayak in the back of his truck and went around, and I had a very similar experience going around the dam near Mountain Home. But when on the White River, they do have those open spillway dams like you were talking about, the Corps of Engineers. And the first one was actually very difficult to get around. I got up to it, and I kind of went back and forth for about an hour to try to find a reasonable way to get around it.
Instead, he decided just to stop and make camp. And it was a good thing he did, because the next day, he had to crawl on all fours up a steep embankment, pulling his boat and gear after him. Eventually, he made it to the White River.
Oh, that was quite an experience going through the White River. The last week, it's a national wildlife preserve. So what happens is it kind of becomes a very swampy area to either side of the river, and I had a very difficult time finding camping sites. But every day, probably about 8 to 10 hours between each float, I would come across a sandbar that I could camp on. It. But then I came up and saw the lock from the White River going into the Mississippi River, and you know, it was very huge. I've never gone through one before. So it was just seeing this mammoth structure come up ahead of me after 2 weeks of floating through just wilderness area with nothing but swamps to either side, not even seeing people, was it was very awe-inspiring. And so I floated through the lock, big concrete walls on either side of me, and then I opened up and saw the Mississippi and realized that it was 4 or 5 times the size of the river I'd been floating in, but I was really excited.
On the mighty Mississippi, he quickly learned to avoid all sorts of new hazards, like gigantic river barges, their wakes, half-sunken tankers, and chunks of floating debris, not to mention the water.
Oh, it's bad. It's really muddy. When if the wind comes up and I get any kind of water splashes over my kayak, when it dries, you can see there's just sand everywhere. In fact, if I reach my hand in and I let the water seep through, I see little bits of sand, little grains of sand on my hand. So sand is just sand and mud and dirt have gotten into everything. Every night when I get in my tent, no matter how careful I am, when I get it set up, there's always sand and grit and things.
As compared to Ozarks water, right? And he had to contend with swarms of insects and deep mud getting off the river in certain places. No support team was on hand, but friends and family kept track of him, emailing weather warnings and other useful information. He's encountered a few storms, but mostly conditions have been pleasant. Except for only 3 nights spent in motels, he's camped out, sleeping under the stars, weather permitting. On the night of May 5th, Jason caught a very clear view of the supermoon, so-called as it came closest to Earth in its annual non-circular orbit.
Which is really cool. It's a very, very bright moon. And I was thinking, how many people are looking at this, and it's speaking to them in a different way than it's speaking to me. And so when you talk to somebody about something, you think about, how is this going to speak to you? How do I express what it says to me? And I've just been really thinking a lot about people's perception of things.
Jason also has seen lots of wildlife, deer, raccoon, flocks of eagles on the lakes, shorebirds along the rivers, snakes, and one alligator, which made him very, very nervous.
But the sun had just gone down, and I was on a sandbar. And I looked over, and I saw it come out. There was kind of a little bayou area really close to where I was. And I saw it come out into the water, and all I could see was its eyes and its nose on the top of the water. And, you know, it was dark. I couldn't get a picture because the sun had gone down. But I saw it come out, and it kind of swam up toward me a little bit and then cut across the river, and I never saw it again. But that was the only one I've seen.
As he talked to us, Jason was 80 miles or so north of New Orleans.
When I am paddling, I usually get about 6 miles per hour. And the kayak that I've got, it's really nice. I've had it, the wind's picked up a few times where I've just been completely on my side with the water. So even if the cockpit were to fill with water, it's not going to sink. Before I left, I took it out in the lake and kind of tried to roll it. And it's double beveled on the bottom, so it actually has a lot of stability.
As far back as June, Jason began to plan for his adventure, including what he calls his river diet, apple cinnamon oatmeal and powdered milk with Bangkok, an instant powdered milk fry bread for breakfast, and lots of mac and cheese and instant grains for lunch and dinner, all prepared on a tiny cook stove, often seasoned, he said, with river sand. He supplements with power bars and peanut butter. He resupplies weekly, traipsing into nearby towns for fresh water, fruits, and vegetables, where friendly locals have offered him lifts. Normally, the 5'8", 27-year-old weighs around 150 pounds, but by journey's end, he's down to a skinny 135, and the first few days were really tough.
And here, I've got to paddle back out just a little ways. There we go. My wrists would become sore, and you know, my shoulders hurt a little bit, but what happened was I got very, very used to it.
Lugging more than 100 pounds of gear has got to hurt. But overall, he said, he's in good shape, having spent months running and weight training to prepare. Being one of only a handful of people who annually paddle this route solo, Jason says he's gotten lots of looks from locals.
The people, they say I'm crazy. Either they say I'm crazy or they think it's just the coolest thing in the world.
When not exploring, Jason works full-time for Ark of the Ozarks, assisting dual-diagnosed mentally ill residents. But he saved up lots of vacation time to do this. And even though he's alone, he says he hasn't felt alone.
It's actually really neat. When I go by, I'll see dock workers, and they're usually really good to wave. And, you know, some of them will give me a big thumbs up, and sometimes I may be going, someone's fishing, or I'm on the side of the bank, and they kind of ask me where I'm going. I tell them, so half the time the response I get is, golly, why are you even wanting to do something like that? And usually my response is that I don't even remember anymore.
Several weeks leading up to this trip, Jason wrote on his weblog that he had mixed emotions, worried he might not reach his destination or would be ill-prepared. So he reached out to other adventurers for advice. That helped. But he only has one regret.
Would be to bring an extra paddle.
But with that one single very lucky paddle, Jason expects to rendezvous with an Ozarks friend at a designated New Orleans dock.
I'm going to get picked up, and then I'm going to, there's a hostel in town. They said that I could store my kayak inside there. And so I'm going to get there, and we're going to go and get some shrimp po' boys and get up the next morning, grab some beignets, and then head back home.
And after more than a month of subsisting on powdered and instant meals, a Cajun feast seems a perfect way to celebrate a successful and inspiring solo voyage. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.